How many birds flock together? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. How many birds flock together? We make a statement like that, just generally speaking, and say, oh yeah, universal, everyone understands it, everyone knows exactly what's going on. It's a positive statement, a statement of total understanding. But is it really? How many birds do flock together? Birds of a feather flock together. Now that statement means that birds of a similar breed fly in a similar pattern. And this is true. And you have to ask yourself now, if you were comparing yourself to a bird, what kind of a bird would you compare yourself to? Now, you have the wisdom of being a human being and being able to look into your various encyclopedias and look into your bird books and find out where birds are and who birds are and which birds are of a similar breed, which birds can interbreed, and which birds do interbreed, and which birds keep a breed into its most idealistic form, if you can say there is an idealistic form. Now, birds of a feather flock together. People who have similar thoughts, similar attitudes, a similar religion, flock together, they remain together. People who have similar attitudes toward life, they remain together. People of a similar ethnic background remain together, basically. But we're in a new age now. We're in a new world. We're in a new experience. We're in an experience where we don't look at people's color. We don't look at people's education. We don't look at people's experiences. We don't look at people's bodies. We don't look at anything. We just look at the charisma of an individual. You often say, why would that guy marry that girl who was not all that beautiful, or that beautiful, fantastic girl? Why would she go around with that guy who just doesn't look all that imaginative, just all that exciting? And the answer is, there's charisma there. Why is it that little animals pattern themselves on whoever is nearby, and they bond with them as their mother or their father, usually as the mother? And they bond with them as a mother because they need to have a mother. They have indwelling in them the concept of having a mother. No, it doesn't matter whether you pretend that one animal is another so that the other animal will bond with it. It's been known that lion cubs would bond with mice, so to speak. It's been known that they're something that's totally contrary to their own beingness. Cats. And a little cat was saying hello to a giant caribou. Or a great big bear, a ferocious bear, was looking down at a baby puppy and thinking, now, shall I take that baby puppy into my den and have it be one of my cubs? It doesn't seem to have anybody who wants to take care of it. Could I take care of that little baby puppy? Well, wouldn't that be interesting, having a big bear, polar bear, raise a baby puppy? Well, they said Romulus and Remus were raised by the wolves, the founders of Rome. They said that Tarzan was raised by the apes. Tarzan and the apes. Oh, yes. We have many of these that are that way. Now, how does that come about? Well, it certainly doesn't come about by lookalikes. It doesn't come about by normal breeding patterns. It comes about by a charisma that exists between the individuals involved. And they are individuals. Like the great big bear and the little puppy dog. They're individuals. And how do they relate? Are they birds of a feather flocking together? Are they being together for the good of one another? Or are they being separate? Are they being unique? Are they being aware that each one is different, but yet there's a love, there's a charisma, there's a flow, an ebb and tide of an internal feeling of goodness between them that makes them want to bond. Yes, chickens bond with people that take care of them. Chickens with human beings. Yes, that's true. And I'm sure that other creatures would do much the same, like a rattlesnake or any other creature. It would bond with anything that exists because it needs to be parented. It needs to have someone to love. And it bonds with someone that it feels close to. Now, true, you're a puppy and you're raised in your cub, you're raised in your little den, and so you are familiar with your brothers and sisters and your mother and father, and you bond with them and you feel one with them. But what if they were to die? What if they were to disappear? What if you were to be abandoned on some mountainside and all your family was gone and there you were alone, and then some dog came along and saw you there and chased you, and you cowered and you were afraid, and the dog recognized that you were afraid, not that you were that bad or against him, and the dog went over and says, "What's the matter, Dad?" And you say, "My mom and dad, they went away. I don't know where they went." Now, perhaps they don't communicate in words just like that, but they get across the thought, and the dog recognizes that this little creature doesn't have anybody, doesn't have anyone to take care of him, and so he takes him home. And when he brings him home to his master said, "What do you think this is? You think we're going to raise a bear in the house here? What? You've got to have rocks in your head, or a leopard, or a tiger, or some other lovely creature, you know?" And we think, what is it that brings them together? Is it survival? Is it the need to have someone care for them? Or is it their charisma is so beautiful and so gracious and so outstanding that everyone just has to love them? Everyone just has to feel good toward them, even when they are their enemy or their predator. And this is true in the human family too. When we live in such a state of introspective, charismatic feeling for ourselves and for others, when we love ourselves so completely, so beautifully, then we find that it doesn't matter whether we're birds of a feather flocking together. It only matters that we like ourselves. And we like ourselves and we like everybody in our world. We don't know anybody who is mean or hateful or ugly. We don't know anyone who wants to hurt us. We don't know anyone who wants to do something that's not nice to us. As far as we are concerned, everybody loves us. Everybody wants us in their world, and everybody cares about us, and everybody thinks us, we are just wonderful. Now, that thinking that we are just wonderful, where does that come from? That comes from an invisible aspect, that invisible beingness called charisma, the invisible unconditional love that dwells within every being. And if you are really, really unconditionally loving, if you are really charismatic, if you are really one, everyone knows it. Everyone feels it. Everyone understands it. And then you are truly that fantastic quality. It's a matter of who you are. Oh yeah, birds of a feather flock together. That's true. But that's not what makes the world go round. What makes the world go round are the birds that have a certain charismatic love about them. We watched the hummingbirds, and one hummingbird decided that he was going to keep the feeder for himself and his family, and he was going to chase everyone else away. And we could tell who his family were because he didn't chase them away, but he chased everybody else away. And people would come near people. Other hummingbirds would come near the feeder, and he would just go at them tooth and tongue, and they would go flying away. And they'd say, "Hey, we're your brothers. What you chasing us away for? We all eat together. We're a happy family." "This, I have my own family to feed. I have my own family to take care of. And there's only one feeder here, and we're going to have it." And so he has it. He has it for a day or two, maybe a week. And then all of a sudden, he's not there anymore. Now, what has happened to him? Has he gotten mellow and allowed others to come in? Or has he taken his family to some other location? Have they found some beautiful bushes that are just the type of succulent flowers that they love to have? Who knows? But we do know that when animals, creatures, birds are harmonious with one another, they share together, they eat together, they live together. And as they share together, eat together, and live together, wonderful things happen. Wonderful things happen in their life. And the same is true for you and for me. As we love ourselves so completely, and love our world so completely, the troughs of all the feeding bins are open to us. The feathers are all unruffled around us, and we don't know which are ours or which are somebody else's, because we just flock together in love, unconditional love, with whomever, wherever we are. We have that ability. Oh, little tiny creatures who have no one, and they are fearful. Other creatures come along and want to take care of them, an instinct that is natural in all beings. And if they are really frightened, they mother them. And if they are bold and brazen and so mad that they want to frighten everybody else away, then the other creatures come in and put them to rest or scare them away. But they don't have a friendly relationship with anyone who wants to fight love. So, wherever you are, whatever you do in life, if at any moment things fall apart for you, and you can be unconditionally loving of yourself and everyone else, and say, well, that happens. I'll get by. It's a wonderful world. People sense that charisma. Animals, birds, all creatures sense that charisma. And they invite you into their family, into their world, into their being. And you live in universal harmony. Think about these things, because that's what makes the world go round. I love you eternally.